Today's program has been brought to you by Cain Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cain5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to the Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here today with Samantha Rose. And I wanted to put the UHF Spatula City commercial.
We should in have.
I mean, spatulas. Why? I mean, do people ask you that all the time?
They do. It's really funny because I never thought I'd be the spatula girl, but but to hear my mom tell it, this was completely inevitable. Because apparently I've been giving her spatulas for Christmas since I was a kid.
They fit good in the stockings, right?
Yeah, they fit perfectly well. And every year there'd be like a new one, and it would have a metal handle or a wooden handle, or I got her the Mario Batali one or whatever it was. And I completely forgot about all of that when I started to do this. And then she said, Sam, you know, you've been giving me spatulas since forever. I mean, it was only time.
Well, so let me preface. Samantha Rose, owner of GIR, Get It Right. Which is a company that makes spatulas, amongst other things. So it wasn't just like this random thing we were talking about, spatulas. But it was a start. You have a background in design, product design, marketing of those products.
Yeah.
But spatulas, have they... Obviously, now hearing you, they've always kind of held this funny place in
I guess
your life.
I guess they've always held a funny place in my life. I love to cook, and I love cooking tools. I wouldn't necessarily say that I love cooking gadgets, because one of my quibbles with gadgets is that there's so many one-use gadgets out there, and I find that I have a drawer full of things that I think are going to be really useful. And
so they have to be utilitarian, multi-purpose.
Exactly. I mean, the days that you need a cherry pitter, you need a cherry pitter. But
well, let me hear some of the other gadgets that you hate. Just go on a tirade right now.
So, I mean, with the hate and love them all, you know, at the same time, that you need the cherry pitter when you're going to make something with cherries. You need a grapefruit knife when you're going to have grapefruit for breakfast. And I grew up, we had a grapefruit tree outside the front window of my kitchen, and we would go and pick a grapefruit and cut it in half and have it for breakfast. And a grapefruit knife was like, it was such a familiar tool to me. And then, you know, you grow up, you move away, you haven't had grapefruit in 10 years, or at least haven't cut one for yourself, and you kind of sit there wondering why you have a grapefruit knife in your drawer. But I've spent thousands of hours cooking, and I'm certainly not a professional chef, and for that matter, I'm really not a professional industrial designer either. But my husband and I were cooking one day, and I was holding a spatula with a wooden handle, and it had been burned in the past, and I was looking at it, and it warped in the dishwasher, and it came apart in my hands. And I looked at the hole that was in the blade where the wooden part stuck into it, the wooden handle stuck into the blade, and I just blurted out, why don't they make these out of one piece? It seemed really obvious to me, and so I thought, well, they must make it out of one piece. That can't be the answer, that they don't exist. It's just that I don't have one. And so I went hunting for them, and I couldn't find them anywhere. I kind of felt like I was going a little nuts, because I couldn't figure out why it would be so difficult to make, or what about it was preventing the spatula making community from really getting this product right and making it out of one piece, which is what I envisioned would make it perfect. Then the whole thing could be silicone, and it would have all of the heat resistant benefits of silicone and be very antimicrobial, and the list, at least for me, goes on, although I'm happy to elaborate.
you know what I say when I see a spatula?
What do you say?
Ugh. I say ugh, because, you know, when you take apart the wooden handled ones from that bit
the blade,
of
yeah.
That black mold.
Oh, it's so gross, right?
And you're just like, I have to live with this? Well, no longer.
You did have to live with it.
Had to. No longer. We've moved forwards and a new sponsor has been made.
It's been made.
I want to go back to your childhood. I mean, it was inevitable for many reasons. Mm-hmm. You didn't just give spatulas away as gifts during the holidays, but your dad was an entrepreneur.
He was, yeah.
And your mother was not only a great cook, but a designer.
I don't know if she's a designer by trade, but she certainly has an incredible and aspiring aesthetic. And it was something that was really impressed upon me growing up. And she really created a beautiful home and a very functional home. And I think a lot of that mentality infiltrated into the way that I perceived products and incidentally into what I wanted to put into her stockings. It was like, is this spatula going to be good enough? being surrounded by that aesthetic, being surrounded by an entrepreneurial spirit, and it was a very hardworking household. Both my parents worked very hard, my mom in making a beautiful home, and my dad in making cool companies and I think all of that, filtered in as well. So definitely some seeds way back there.
And then marriage brought in this seed of invention. Because your in-laws are actually inventors and hold.
Yes.
How many patents?
I don't know if I'm allowed. Well, I think I can say this. He holds over 50 patents, my father-in-law does. He works at a research facility in upstate New York. And he is an inventor. I think what he would tell you is that he is a chemist, but what he really, really is an inventor. So he was an amazing sounding board for the ideas about, the materials and how to make it, how to approach, from a more scientific standpoint, what we were doing with what was really such a common tool and something that I think not a lot of people had given a lot of thought to, even though they've really entered popular culture in this fascinating way with UHF and SpongeBob's.
I'm surprised there actually isn't a Spatula City.
I mean, don't bury the lead here. Yeah. we're breaking ground next week.
You went to school.
I did. Yeah.
Yale.
I did.
Were you studying design of spatulas then?
No, I wasn't. I was studying English and poetry. And there's got to be a way that it relates. I could make up a way that it relates. But I was really I started as a physics and astronomy major. I had every intention of and you can't laugh at this, but I wanted to be an astronaut. I was like, okay, you can laugh if you want.
I wanted to work for SETI. We're in the same boat.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, but then they shuttered. No pun intended. But they shuttered the shuttle program. So, in the first couple of years of my experience there, I started gravitating toward the English department and took a couple of really fascinating classes with incredible professors and just decided I needed to make the switch. So I switched over to being an English major and then ended up getting, they don't really have, I mean, you can double major there, but what I did was have a concentration in writing. So it was like a whole separate writing project that I undertook that was English poetry and had a lot to do with sort of just picking apart and figuring out what makes a poem tick and what makes a poet tick. So if I were to sort of, weave the thread of connection between all of it, that sensibility and that mentality of looking at something very compact and pulling it apart into its constituent elements and interpreting those elements and then pushing it all back together, which is sort of the experience of reading a poem, close reading a poem, and of writing a poem. The spatulas are my poetry for the world.
Well, I'm going to make an assumption.
How do you like
here.
That one?
That is poetic in and of itself. I'm gonna make an assumption here and ask whether or not you watch Mad Men.
Yes and no. But I guess the long answer or the short answer has to be no. I started watching it and had to stop it because I was speaking to my parents about it, and it reminded them so much of their, I guess, fairly negative childhood experiences. It was, like, too close to home. So I don't know if that fulfills or breaks your assumption. But
No. I mean, because you worked as a director for marketing for some large companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coca-Cola, Target, Nationwide.
Clients. But yes. Clients. Yeah.
And what did you do for those clients?
So I did that work at a company called Picture Marketing, which incidentally was the company that my father was working so hard on when I was growing up. And they did branded social media campaigns for those companies. And their platform, which is called the Photos App platform, basically facilitates one-to-one direct marketing connections between individuals and these large brands. So to kind of put it in a nutshell, what they do is they at an event will take a photograph of an individual or of a group of people, and then sort of build that into an individualized communication and sort of a personal marketing campaign for that person on behalf of a brand. So that's Picture Marketing and Photos App are the platform for that activity. Their apps and their cameras are. And I did advertising for them and was a part of building that app and building up the platform, communicating with those clients and turning the campaigns into what they wanted them to be and making them personal for the clients.
Yeah. So how do you make a spatula personal? Because now as the CEO of Sorry Robots, mm-hmm. And this is very poetic too, you do strategic brand creation and product ideation.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the ways we make this spatula personal, and it is it's very personal for me because it's my brainchild in a way. To your point, what we've done with the colors and what I wanted to do with the colors was really create something that everybody could bring in and feel like they had a little part of. So whether your kitchen is pink or chartreuse, there's a spatula for you, and it matches your other cookware, it matches your mood, it can match the dish that you're cooking, and that really personalized it for me. I cook borscht with a magenta spatula, and I do icing with the Studio White spatula.
Yeah, yeah.
Vanilla icing.
No, I think everything in my kitchen is red.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just so there are red spatulas for a person like me. There are bacon spatulas for people that like cooking bacon.
Exactly.
But that personal touch of a spatula, you know, everyone does have their favorite kitchen tool or device. And it's theirs, and
yeah.
They cook everything with it. Mm-hmm. And they're very sad when it breaks or, you know, it goes missing, and they pass it on to somebody else. It has a legacy to it, even something as simple as a spatula.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way? Do you feel that same connection with your tools?
I do, and it's interesting. The very first spatula that I got, and I'll digress a tiny bit to say that, when I started making these, I thought I would make 10 as gifts for my family and friends. And I thought, well, I can't really make 10 in like a mold in my kitchen. I was like, I bought silicone molding materials and it wasn't to my quality standards. So I thought, okay, well, I should manufacture these and then they'll be really nice. And I've got the design. I know exactly what I want. And I went to manufacture 10 of them, which is will kind of belie how green I was at the very beginning of this a couple of years ago. And you can't manufacture 10 of something. You can manufacture 10,000 of something, but you can't manufacture 10 of them. So at that point, really, I reached this, it was just a decision-making process of, well, is this a good enough idea to carry water? Will people respond to it? And Kickstarter was part of coming up with the answer to that question. So we manufactured thousands because I couldn't just manufacture 10. But they were really, you know, they were just meant to be like gifts for the family. And they turned into this, amazing, product and company that, you know, hopefully will make, or not hopefully, but we are making a lot of other things.
Yeah, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how you've applied intelligent design to other everyday products.
All right.
You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lonesome Now by Four Lincolns on heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Welcome back to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, back here with Samantha Rose.
Good to be here.
Talking about spatchers. G-I-R, get it right. And you were saying you digressed before, but there's more of a digression. Like, you want to talk more about the origins of this company.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, in sort of naming it and trying to figure out what else we would do, I realize that and this goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the conversation, which is these sort of single-use kitchen gadgets, as much as I love cherry pitters and grapefruits. I wanted to create something that was that felt very familiar. So despite the sort of newfangledness of it and the inventiveness of the design and the unibody stuff, and we can talk about all that, but when you looked at it, I wanted it to look and feel like a spatula. I wanted you to be able to see it from 20 feet away on a wall and say, that's a spatula, and not like, oh, what is that thing? I wonder what it does. So I think in that regard, there's something very familiar and homey and personal about it. It doesn't feel like it's from outer space necessarily, even though it really is from outer space because it's this unibody spatula. And that too is for me a part of getting it right. And sort of, you know, finding a form factor that is at once unique and very, very familiar.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's invention versus reinvention. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing with reinvention is taking something that's been a canon for so long and remodeling it. And, I mean, aside from the unibody, let's talk about silicon. Because,
okay.
You know, not Silicon Valley, silicone. Yeah.
Silicone, which my inventor father-in-law will, if you're talking to him and you are talking about silicone and you say silicon, he'll say silicone.
Reprimand, yeah. Yeah. I felt reprimanded, actually.
I mean, very, very gently. He's a very gentle soul, but I guess that's what happens when you work in a lab for 30 years.
I mean, what is silicone composed of?
So there are a lot of different types of silicone, really it starts as like a sand, as silicon. I mean, that's one of the elements in it. There's, you know, hydrogen and carbon and oxygen that go into it. So there's some sort of methane type molecule. I mean, we can get really molecular, although I can only get so molecular before I need to call in the father-in-law for reinforcement. But food safe silicones have limits to the number of additives and different chemicals that can be used in their production. and to keep them food safe, and also you know, fairly strict temperature limits within which it's recommended to use them, because after that they'll start to decompose, and that happens on a fairly sliding scale. And again, with food safe silicones, when that decomposition process starts, it's really not giving off noxious fumes or anything like that, but it will start to, you know, to discolor.
That's 986 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is a pile of silicone dust, yeah, is what you got.
Well, I mean, let's talk about two other numbers, 464 and, okay, 550.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's interesting, if this has been, it's been a bit of a dilemma for, I guess, Samantha the marketer versus Samantha the science person, insofar as there's, and again, starting all of this not knowing all of that much about these materials, but really digging deep into it and learning as much as I could in the process and becoming something of an expert over the course of that experience. There's a lot of misinformation out there about the heat resistance of food safe silicones. And I have to qualify that by saying food safe silicones, because if you're looking at non food safe silicones, I mean, it's the O-rings that bind, and this is going back to our nerdy science stuff, you know, the solid rocket boosters together. I mean, really, there are some silicones that can go really, really high and very, very low. But in the food safe category, generally speaking, you'll start to see decomposition around the, say, 500, 525, 550 degree Fahrenheit mark. And what that means from a I guess a practical standpoint in your kitchen is that you'll start to see it discolor. And one of the things that was very difficult for me as a marketer to wrap my head around was, in speaking to the factories and the experts about the materials that we were using, I wanted, obviously, the best silicone available. And I was seeing claims on other spatulas and other silicone kitchen tools that went much, much higher than that, say, 550 degree Fahrenheit, or even more conservatively, the mid-400s Fahrenheit range. And I couldn't figure out why. And eventually, I came to the conclusion that they were basically citing results of a test that was conducted in inert atmosphere. So in an inert atmosphere, when there's no oxygen involved,
being
in outer space, you can really get the silicone to go much higher without starting that decomposition process, which is measured in lab tests by gauging the amount of weight, mass, that the object loses as it's subjected to these temperature stresses. And once it starts to lose mass, obviously something is escaping, probably in the form of a gas, and eventually you'll have that pile of dust. So all that is to say that when we went about marketing the gear spatulas and coming up with a number that we felt comfortable telling people, push this to the limit, you can leave it on the stove, turn around, walk away, chop another vegetable, come back to it, and when you pick it up, you will not burn your hand. The number that I was comfortable with putting on the label was 464 Fahrenheit, which is 240 Celsius. And if you keep it within that range, the spatula will last forever. And that kind of goes to that sliding scale. It's not like at 550 degrees Fahrenheit, it just goes poof and it disappears. Yeah. I mean, it really all, and there's a lot of elements that are involved there, whether it's it's the cooking conditions and the exact conditions of production, and whether or not one chemical is slightly more present than another. But the companies that are out there that are claiming heat resistance to temperatures like 600, 650, and I've even seen, and this is at a very large quality food and kitchenware store that will not be named, I've seen their house-branded spatula claim 800 degrees Fahrenheit, which is just completely impossible.
I mean, how often are you cooking 800 degrees Fahrenheit?
Well, never, because because peanut oil will smoke at like 450, so really 464 is all you'd ever need,
yeah.
which is what we say.
And why would you be dunking a spatula in peanut oil anyway?
I mean, you never really would, unless it's Thanksgiving and you're doing that turkey thing from 10 years ago. Do people still deep fry turkeys? Maybe they really do.
Oh, they do.
Maybe they do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We won't try to ostracize that
part
of the community
enough.
Just yet. But, I mean, this is part of why you give a lifetime guarantee and you say things. It's dishwasher safe. It's, you know, hygienic. It's hypoallergenic. I mean, these aren't just buzzwords. These are realities to your product.
They're realities to the product, and they're very near and dear to my heart, and they were very important to me in its creation process. I didn't want to put something out there, especially didn't want to put something out there that we called Get It Right, if it didn't qualify, if it didn't meet all of those quality standards. The danger, the beauty of Get It Right is that it's such, I love it as a name for our company and as a mission, and it so encapsulates what we're about. But if we get it wrong, then we're just a punchline. So we can't do anything wrong ever.
You've obviously gotten the spatula right.
Thank you.
You know, and you know, we have a pile of them in front of us. They come in, what, three different sizes?
Four different sizes.
I mean, they're such a fun collection, too, because of all the, you know, Pantones that you have in the collection itself. But you've explored a couple other tools. I know when you were doing your Kickstarter campaign, there were those rewards. I mean, there was a scraper, there was a spoon.
And a flipper, yeah.
What's in the pantry now?
So those three products are well underway, and we've gotten a couple of prototypes. We're going back and forth with them, and you know, part of our process is just this extremely intensive focus on the design, and we'll prototype it. We order prototypes from Shapeways and just get them in hard plastic and start to feel if the look and feel of it is right, then we move on to a silicone version. And then there's a lot of interplay between the amount of silicone used in the blade and sort of, I guess, the roundness of the blade, the bulbousness of that blade, and the inner core that's inside. And that has a lot to do with how flexible it will be or how stiff. We spend a ton of time trying to figure out what that ideal balance is and the interplay between those two things. The four spatulas that we have in front of us are sort of perfect in my mind. But I've had some people say they're too flexible and some people say they're too stiff.
Like you said,
and a lot of people say they're perfect. So
it depends on conditions too. So what do you do to test them? I mean, do you just say, I'm going to make eggs today, Anna? Or I'm going to make, you know, dip it in hot peanut oil.
The lighter colors in boiling tomato sauce for hours and hours and hours. I mean, some of it becomes like this very, rigorous but non-scientific experimentation of like, well, what can I do to this thing today? And, how hard can I rub it against the blade of my blender before it gets cut? And the answer is, please don't rub it too hard. But it's still soft.
Oh, yeah, mine always gets stuck in there. And since it's a two-part system, you know, that top falls off and you pull out a wooden handle and then you have to go dig your hand in there.
It's a good thing you still have five fingers. I've been counting them. And then we had this interesting experience of the word spatula, and this goes back to the English major thing, it means a lot to a lot of different people. For some people, it means a flipper, and for some people, it means the baking spatula that you see in front of you. We've had some people write in and say, you know, this isn't very good at flipping things. I'm like, hold the phone. Don't try to flip anything with it, but we're making that for you. So the flip is going to come out in a couple of months here. We went back to the drawing board with it a little bit. We had a design in our hands that felt a little too normal. Even though we want things to feel pretty normal, that we felt with the flip, we needed a little bit more of an aggressive form factor, and we wanted to give it more surface area. So there's lots of questions like that for us. You know, how big of a pan pancake can you flip with this flip?
Like Uncle Buck style.
Exactly, yeah. Before it's too big and you realize, well, this isn't that great for flipping a quail egg or whatever it is. So, again, rigorous but non-scientific testing.
Yeah. I just realized that's my second 80s movie. I quote UHF and Uncle Buck.
Keep going. We can be here all day.
But I want to go back to recipes because there have to be, I know you supply some recipes on your site actually too, but there have to be some that are near and dear to your heart that you use your tools for.
All the time, yeah.
What are those?
So I've actually, oddly enough, received a request from my mom and my brother to remove this recipe from our website. But there's a cookie called the Raspberry Tort Cookie. It's incidentally a vegan cookie. It's sweetened with maple syrup. It's made from almond flour and sprouted wheat flour. And it's got a little a raspberry jam thumbprint in the middle. And it's a cookie that I've been eating. I mean, I think my mom's been making it since forever. She made a batch on the day that my son was born. She probably made a batch on the day that I was born, for all I know.
She's making a batch. Listen to the show. Right
exactly, now. Exactly. That is my favorite thing to make, no matter what or when I'm making it with. And the dough is pretty thick. It's ground almonds. It's home ground almonds. So. It tends to be a spatula destroyer, and there's some oil in the batter as well, of course. If you can't dishwash that spatula at the end of it, it's just impossible to clean. So, really, one of the recipes that I had in mind in making the spatula was these raspberry tort cookies, and I have to say those are my favorite things to cook with the spatula.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about how people can purchase them because I believe I've seen them at JB Prince.
They're at JB Prince. That JB Prince was actually the very first store to carry them, to our great delight. And they're in a few other small specialty shops. I have to say, some of the purchase stuff is a work in progress. We're really excited to get into bigger stores, and that's kind of, at the moment, the other half of my job, in addition to new product development, is really just to get us into a store. But productofgear.com, they're available there, obviously as well on Amazon, because that's where you can get any. If it doesn't exist on Amazon, it doesn't exist
even
at all.
Even things that don't exist are on Amazon already. But I want to talk about the industry purchase program.
Okay.
Because, you know, you say spatula, and am I saying that correctly? I mean, you can correct me, English major. Spatula.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just a home kitchen tool. You want to get this in kitchens around the world, in industrial kitchens, culinary focused kitchens and restaurants.
I do very, very badly. So we've done a couple of things with that in mind. The first of which is just, going back to the design in the first place. As I was making it, I thought, this is perfect for restaurant kitchens because it's so it really is indestructible unless you do that blender thing that we were talking about. But other than that, it stands up to, thousands of dishwasher cycles, another rigorous but non-scientific test that I ran myself. More specifically, what we've done is we've developed a pro size, which we also have in front of us right now. And it's about 15 inches long. It's got a broader, wider blade, slightly more flexible than the ultimate size, I think, sort of proportionally. And I made it for restaurant kitchens, professional chefs, wannabe professional chefs, people who were really making very large batches of things and wanted a spatula that would stand the test of time under pretty intense use conditions, and also be just large enough to feel at home in a professional kitchen.
Yeah. And see, I'm not going to knock my in-laws or my wife at all, but, sometimes in stocking stuffers, you get quirky kitchen tools.
Yeah.
And they work, and they're great, and you have a lot of fun with them, but this has both that feeling of fun quirkiness, but, seriously technical.
Quirkiness, yeah. I think, a lot of the personality of them shines through in the colors and in the voice that we've given the spatula and the personality that we've given the spatula, which I have to admit is largely just my personality, but personified in silicone.
How often have you been able to say personified in silicone?
It's the first time, but I don't think it's going to be the last. You know, and it, and at the same time, as you know, as fun and as happy as they are, I mean, they're very happy tools. They feel happy to me. They're, I think they're happy to be here with us in the world. But you can really put them to work. And this actually goes back to something I was going to mention before. Before I went on my digression of how they all started, but the very first spatula that I have that I got from the factory, I still have today. It's the one that I use. It's red and it's in my drawer and I've used it every day that I've cooked, which is almost every day since getting it a year and a half ago. And it looks exactly the same today as it did the day that I got it. So again, to the indestructibility and the sort of the seriousness of them, you know, they really will hold up to the test of time.
Yeah. Well, at least you get to say you got something right.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
I can't wait to see what future products you have coming out. Again,
thank
it's Product of Gear, G-I-R.
That's correct.
.com. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Get in your kitchen and be as excited as I am to have these spatulas in front of me. You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkell. Hoping to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.